Welcome to this week's edition of Flashback Friday, your opportunity to get some good review by listening to episodes from the past that Jason has handpicked to help you today in the present and propel you into the future. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
It's my pleasure to welcome James Rollins to the show. He is a veterinarian turned best-selling action adventure thriller author of the Six Sigma Force series and author of the new book, The Sixth Extinction. James, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, good, good. Tell us a little bit about the book, if you would, and let's learn more.
Sure. Well, this is the 10th book in my Sigma Force series. Not that you have to read them in any order. I don't think very many people have read my books in the order I wrote them in, but just hop in when you can and then fill in the blanks from there. But in this novel, it starts out with a frantic distress signal sent from a remote military research station on the shores of Mono Lake in Northern California. It ends with these chilling words, kill us all. The Marines rush in. They find that the scientists at this lab are all dead, and not just the scientists, but every living thing for 50 square miles is annihilated. Animals, plants, bacteria is sterilized, and the blight is spreading. And to stop it, Sigma must face its greatest challenge to date, which is the coming extinction of mankind.
So how does this occur?
Well, the consensus among scientists today is that we're at the brink of the next great mass extinction event, one to rival the asteroid strike that wiped out the dinosaurs, which was extinction event number 5. But there are 4 more even prior to that. At this point, we're losing species at the rate of about 3 every hour, totaling out to about 30,000 species a year. And, it's again, as a thriller writer, I'm always got my antenna up for that next big idea. I'm always looking for that scientific concept that maybe has some bearing on today and then seeing where that science leads us to, what's over that horizon. And so that becomes the breadth of this novel, is that something goes awry in one of these labs that are seeking a way to stop this mass extinction event.
So they're trying to stop the extinction, but the unintended consequences, they actually cause it.
Yeah, so basically the last 5 extinctions were caused by natural causes, massive volcanic eruptions, asteroid strikes, only in this time, we are the asteroid. We are the ones causing this damage through pollution, urbanization, the global spread of invasive species. It's humankind that's causing the extinction rate to kick it to about 1,000 times the normal background rate of extinction. And since we sort of caused this mess, maybe it's our problem to get out of it. Scientific America just... when I was writing this novel, it was one of the things that was hard to keep abreast of it. The information is coming in so quick and so fast, I actually had to keep changing parts of my story to match with the science that was occurring. And Scientific American just 2 weeks ago had an article published stating that they believe we have 1 or 2 generations to turn this tide, this loss of species down, before we go over this proverbial cliff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question about it. Well, I mean, it's kind of... forgive me, but generic to say that, we caused the extinction. I mean, certainly there are lots of issues and problems like that. I agree. But, as they're trying to stop the extinction, how do they cause it? I mean, I was thinking you were going to say something like, it's climate change or just pollution or something in general. And what does the extinction of all these species mean to us? I mean, 30,000 a year is an alarming rate. But how many are there to start with? I don't even know.
Well, there's billions of species, especially if you start counting bacteria and viruses. I mean, that there's... I did a book about our human body. Our human body, we think we're human, but actually we only have 1 out of 10 cells in our body actually has human DNA in it. The other 90 cells in our body are foreign. They're bacteria, they're viruses, they're things that don't carry human DNA in them. That's how intimately we are combined into this planet. 90% of our cells is not us. It's something that is intimately is involved in the environment itself. So, you know, as we're changing and polluting, there's a larger biosphere called the Earth. You know, theoretically, you know, since we are 90% not us, we are putting ourselves at great risk even just from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're just talking about all the bacteria and so forth.
Correct.
In our bodies, right?
Bacteria, viruses, the things that share our, you know, also there's, you know, mites and lice, and we are basically our own little biosphere in and of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic. It's really quite amazing, certainly, to even ponder that idea. So they're trying to stop the extinction. I mean, what do they do that causes the extinction by trying to stop it?
Well, at this point, there's like this accident. It's occurred in one of the labs that, again, doing the research for this now, they found out there's a few camps when it comes to dealing with the environmental situation that we're in. There's the conservationists, those that are trying to preserve old species, and then there's a whole new group, so this is where a lot of the young scientists are playing, and this is in synthetic biology. These are the people that are playing with the genetic toolboxes and reading and writing DNA, trying to splice in extra hardiness into species, or even at this point, creating species from scratch. There's a lab that produced designer yeast from basically just chemicals in a bottle. They were able to produce living, replicating yeast bacteria. And so that's where we're at. We're at some, again, I thought I was fairly, as a background in veterinary medicine, evolutionary biology myself, I thought I was fairly abreast of what was going on in some of these labs. But I was startled at how far advanced some of this has gone. And it's even spreading outside of these technologies and these big labs, these government-sponsored or corporate-sponsored or university-run labs that we're now seeing exploration and fiddling with this genetic toolbox in garages, attic spaces, community centers. There's a whole movement called the biopunk movement where people are producing their own life forms and patenting them in garages. So it's you know, because the cost of doing this genetic research, I mean, doing this genetic manipulation has gotten so cheap and so fast that you know, right now, similar to the rate of that computers are able to process, we're seeing the same thing with genetic ability to process. Right now, we can write DNA about 10 times faster every year. So look, 10 years down the line, we're talking about, you know, being able to read and write DNA to the point of millions of times faster than we can today.
This is amazing what you're saying. So first thing is the biopunk movement. I mean, how do you create a life form? I thought that would take, you know, even if it's, you can do it, I thought it would take some big giant lab, but people are doing this in the garage?
That's a startling thing, is that there's this whole plug-and-play system of genetic manipulation now, where you can actually buy these products called biobricks. They're like little pieces, so they're almost like Lego pieces. Of genetic material, and with just a very, again, novices can be trained and to accomplish these goals, and in just a matter of a few hours, you can learn how to do this, and you can, you know, add different types of these different bio blocks onto different bacterial genomes and produce these replicating plaques of bacteria. I'll give you one example. There's a Kickstarter program right now. For $40, this biopunk group will send you a set of weeds that have a glowing gene incorporated into them so that your weed will glow in the dark. This isn't future science. They've already done it. It's done. You can buy it, $40. And right now they have 5,000 backers. So that basically when they reach their maturation point with this program, they're theoretically going to be spreading about 500,000 of these glow-in-the-dark weed seeds, and what they're recommending that people do with them, spread them far and wide. Which is a little disconcerting because nature has a tendency to take things that we put out there and steal it and manipulate it and mutate it. So, again, I talked to a gentleman with the FBI's Biological Countermeasures Unit after finding out what's going on in some of these labs, both in garages and in these big labs, to find out, you know, what type of oversight is there. What if something goes wrong in one of these facilities? What's the recourse? And he said, well, you know, at this point we have 15,000 scientists that operate in these bio-level 4 labs, the labs that deal with the deadliest of the deadly, and we have zero number of people that actually look over their shoulders. What we depend upon is self-policing. We depend upon if something goes wrong, hopefully somebody will tell us.
Boy, that's
disturbing. It's a little disturbing that that's our level of biocontainment for things that are rapidly changing and rapidly breaking out of mainstream labs and into some of these shadowy types of places.
Wow, that's just, yeah. Someone creates the next Frankenstein, and you know, it's self-policing. Hopefully, they'll let the authorities know. Wow.
And USA Today just a couple of days ago had an article stating that there's been 1,100 accidents in these labs in the past couple of years. So it's not like it's, and the chilling words of this gentleman I was speaking to basically said that, you know, it's not a matter of if something bad will happen, it's just when. If it's not bioterrorism, if it's not somebody, you know, sneaking a student in one of these postdoc programs in one of these labs who's going to steal or learn some technique they're going to take home that's going to become a problem down the line, it's simply lab accidents. That alone can wreak quite a bit of havoc, which is where this novel begins, is if an accident occurs at the lab. It looks like an accident, but we find out down the line that maybe it is bioterrorism.
Wow, yeah, amazing. You know, I looked up while you were talking, I looked up on Amazon.com BioBricks. I didn't get a match. And on Kickstarter, I can't seem to find that project by typing in biopunk or glowing weeds or anything, but that's fascinating. Do you have a suggested keyword? Because I think our listeners would like to look this up themselves.
Yeah, just putting your Google search biopunk is BIOBRICKS. It's all one word.
Yeah, okay.
You can find out, I mean, it's they have 20,000 BioBricks right now that you can order. And there's a whole iGEM program with high school students. Just to give you how easy this is, there's an iGEM competition, which is an international genetic, I can't remember, engineering module. So different high school students are competing to see who can create the most unusual life form using the BioBick program. And there was a group of Slovenian students that produced a bacteria that produced that generates a hormone, I mean a drug rather, that can treat ulcers. And this was done by high school students.
You know, certainly, I mean, that's a good thing, right? That's good. You know, they're...
Oh, yeah. I love the idea of the democratization of science and, you know, tapping into the brain power. I mean, I think one of the greatest strengths of this country is that, you know, we do think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's all great. I wouldn't mind a little bit more oversight.
Right. Yeah.
Is I wouldn't mind, you know, just a few more checks and balances.
Right. So what would happen potentially? I mean, someone would create something in their garage. They would spread it around in nature. What would they do? Plant it? Like a, you know, I mean, it might not be a plant, or just release this bacteria out of a petri dish, or kind of just. I know you have to go soon, but give us the mechanics of that real quickly.
That was the third element that this gentleman I was speaking to with the FBI was concerned about. It's the purposeful release of organisms,
mm-hmm.
like this Kickstarter program. And you can check it by the way. Just put Kickstarter. It should be able to just put Kickstarter glowing weed. It probably will show up at some point. At the back of my book, I have a what's true, what's not section that also can lead you to both the stuff about BioBricks and about the. The biopunk movement.
Fantastic! Wow, just very fascinating. The biopunks. I have not heard of that.
Yeah, that's basically the millennial equivalent of the cyberpunks who were dabbling and hacking into computer code. Now we've got the biopunks hacking into biological code.
Mm-hmm. Any comments on the longevity sciences side of this? You know, the quest for immortality. I mean, Google's, you know, big in that.
And, sure. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of stuff about that.
The two books prior to this, I was a book that dealt specifically with that, which is the search for immortality. You know, Time Magazine had an article just recently said 2040, the year man becomes immortal, and that's probably not a that's probably realistic.
Immortal forever, or living to 150 or 200, or what?
Exactly, but basically just to doubling our lifespan.
Yeah. Incredible. It's just amazing. I mean, we're on the verge of so many amazing things. Let's hope that we don't mess it up with something really ugly and bad. As you certainly point out some of the downsides of this. It's amazing and scary at the same time. James, give out your website. Tell the listeners where they can find you.
It's jamesrollins.com. You can find more about the books. If there's any writers out there, I have a whole section in my website, sort of the tips from a writer's life. I'm also on Facebook, very active on Facebook. Like to have that intimacy between the readers and the authors that I didn't have 15 years ago when I started.
You can get right to them, and they can talk right with you. That's fantastic.
Great.
Well, James Rollins, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn how to finance your next big real estate deal, there's a show for that. If you want to learn more about food storage and the best way to keep those onions from smelling up everything else, there's a show for that. If you honestly want to know more about business ethics, there's a show for that. And if you just want to get away from it all and need to know something about world travel, there's even a show for that. Yep, there's a show for just about anything. Only from jasonhartman.com. Or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth Show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed.